Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
I don't know about you. I find it very hard to be an observer. I much prefer to be a participant. And, you know, I can really just empathize with those of us who might, after week of week, have been watching, you know, your screen instead of being here participating together, that it feels somewhat disengaged. But I really want to encourage you to press in a little bit further. Create these sacred times. Create the space. I know it's hard with the kids and the dog and all the other distractions that are going on around us. We can get to cleaning or breakfast and all these other things, but can I just encourage you, church, why don't you set the time aside on these times like now together, where we might just be able to really just give our full attention to God in these moments together. In fact, you know, being a participant rather than observer, I think is something we're all called to do constantly in our relationship with God and one another. I find it hard in any single area of life not to be a participant. With our kids and raising them, I just can't sit on the sidelines and watch. You know, I've always been the kind of guy who has made that investment of time and energy into our kids, and it's been one that couldn't just drop them off and just let someone else do that, but actually engaging and jumping on board with them in whatever they were doing. Our boys are totally different. They like different things. But I've tried to make sure that I invest my time into their journey of growing up around their passions, whether it be mountain biking or climbing or hiking or camping, or whether it be rugby or cricket. I've always wanted to be doing that with them. I've coached teams, I've run training sessions, I bought more sporting stuff than I care to remember. I've gone through physical and emotional torment at different times, early mornings and long days. Why? Because I'm invested into the relationship I have with my kids and their passions. You know, as parents, we learn this. If you're a young parent out there, it seems like you're giving a lot, you are, and it's gonna keep going. But I want to say this to you. We realize at some point that the more we give, the more we receive. The more we invest into, the more we sow into. As we give the most, we will receive the most. We learn that giving, we learn that investing is such a rewarding thing to do. But if right at the beginning, when Robin and I were talking about having a family, having kids, if right at the beginning of that, I had someone come and do the math with me and come and sit down and say, you know what, John, you know, it's going to cost you thousands and thousands upon tens of thousands of dollars, maybe, and the rest. Or it's going to cost you this much amount of your time and your energy or emotions and whatever else is thrown into the investment of relationship that we have with our kids. I might have been tempted at the very beginning, before any of that, to just go, well, you know what? That sounds like I have to sacrifice a lot. That really does sound like a bit of a tough gig. There's going to be an infringement on my time, my resources, my independence. And I think it's a good illustration of actually what can happen sometimes within the body of the church. Because Satan, the great accuser, kind of comes in and like does the math with everybody. Sits down and says, you know what? If you're really going to invest yourself into the kingdom, if you're really going to invest yourself relationally with those who you journey with in this kingdom journey, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your energy. It's going to cost you emotionally. It's going to cost you financially. And the accuser just starts saying, don't do it. Don't get in there. It's going to be an investment that you can't afford. They're going to just ask you for more of your time, more of your money, more, more, more. Why don't you just think of yourself for a moment and step back? But as parents, that's never the way you think. You never do that. It just kind of goes, but you continue the investment because they're your family, they're your kids. That's what you love to do. And it's in the environment of family that I feel like I've most learned to be compelled by love. And I think that's why God calls his church a family. It's in this environment that we walk together, that we're invested into the success of one another's life in our journey with Jesus. As we come to the last week of our Compelled by Love series, I want to wrap up what we've been talking about by extending the challenge to each one of us to journey this walk together. We're a family with a purpose. We have a job to do in the world. That job is to help other people join our family. That is, declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom, compelled by the love we've experienced, so we might again be motivated and moved that they too might experience that love of God anywhere, anytime, anyone. And then disciple these people who experience his love and who come into the family of God, disciple them to maturity in Christ. We don't weigh this up like it's some burden that's being asked of us. We don't roll our eyes and look for another program so someone else can disciple my kids and someone else can take care of this or that. I just want to sit back and, you know, spectate. I want to sit back and just allow them to do it. This is all about walking together. It's all about the relational responsibility that each of us have to one another as family members to make an investment in each other's lives. How God designed this to take place was through the church. God creates the idea of the church and his people being his family. And you see, family provides opportunity for grace to be expressed. Understanding the nature of God, grace is at the core of why God created the church family. Grace is who God is. And so God uses this concept of family to almost do what is unthinkable. He draws us into relationship and he says, "I will be your heavenly Father, and you'll be like brothers and sisters to one another." He says, "I'm your father, you're my daughter, you're my son." I don't know about you, but the whole concept is a little bit, you know, mind-boggling. It's overwhelming for me to think that the God of this universe would receive me, would accept me, would extend his forgiveness towards me, his grace, his mercy, and his love towards me so that I might find meaning, so I might find significance, so I might find this sense of purpose in my own life, that I would know that I belong. And that's God's concept of family. That when I come to Christ, I am adopted into his family. And the church now becomes my greater family of brothers and sisters. The Apostle Paul talks to a church in Ephesus about this. And he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." He goes on and he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people," that's the family, "to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge," it goes beyond what I comprehend just within my mind, "that I might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Wow. I mean, that is such a rich passage. In the Greek in which Paul is writing, the word father and family are very closely related. They're not synonymous, but they're very, very closely related, which is what he is partly referring to. But beyond that, the whole idea of family comes into this idea of the character, the name of the family. You see, we become a family that is derived from the name of the Father. He becomes our Father, and it's in his name that we have this understanding of who we are. It's in understanding our identity as these members of this family that then we get to represent who he is, because we carry the family name. We carry the name of the Father. It's carried within us by the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit. And listen to this, it just goes on. It says, and the expression is that of the character and the love and the grace of God. It's a reflection of who God is. We represent a higher name. And for this reason, Paul says, I bow before the Father from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. That is, it comes from was created to express. And I pray that you, he says, being rooted and established and loved, that's the whole idea of what families do. That they have the power together with all the Lord's people. This isn't an individual pursuit. This is one we're called into making a relational responsibility and investment into the lives of one another together. We're not alone. And he says it's when you do that, that you're going to actually grasp how high and how wide and how long is the deep is the love of Christ for you. And you, and you, and all of us. People that come to Jesus are grafted into this community of God, this family. And so we remember the power of the body together. And again, Paul, the guy we just referenced who wrote that to the Galatians, talks about this in Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says it's just as the human body is one. Though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, he says, whether we're Jews or non-Jews, whether we're oppressed or free, whether we are all privileged and drink deeply, we all do drink deeply of the presence of his Spirit in our lives. Now, this is why I'm laboring this point. This is really wonderful news for all of us. You see, if you've come into relationship with Jesus, he has placed you in a family. He has placed you with people who will walk with you together in this journey for Jesus. Not only do you now have his presence living within you, sealing the promise of eternal life and the hope, he brings this sense of belonging by the grace we receive now from one another as well. And that's why in that end of that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 26 to 27, Paul says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ and each of you is a part of it. But it also means that then we need to take on responsibility. See, when we see people respond to the good news of Jesus at work in our lives, we have a relational responsibility to engage in the discipleship journey with them. You know, Jesus said to us, when you come to me, I'll not leave you. You'll not be like orphans. I will be with you. And he sent his Spirit to confirm that. And he expects that when people come into his family, they're not left like orphans, that we surround them with mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, and that we walk this journey together. We need to make sure that people find themselves in a loving, healthy family where God is our Father and church is there for one another. Jesus said that we would be known because of our love for one another. This journey of following Jesus is done in relationship with one another. And love becomes the glue that holds us together. Our love for God, our love for one another. I had a friend of mine, he was a mentor too. He was old enough to be my dad. His name was Alan Alexander. We all called him Mr. A. He was a good man. He was a godly man. He taught me a lot about being a disciple of Jesus, just by the way he lived, just by what he stood for, but also in how he gave of his time as well. You see, Alan gave of his time in so many different ways. He was an accountant to some and giving freely often of his time in engaging people and helping them be in a better financial position. To others, he was their athletics coach. To others, he was their scout master. He served the poor and marginalized with great compassion and practicality, volunteering hours of his time just to make their lives a little bit better. His investment into me was on many different fronts. And one of them was when I was a new, young, emerging leader and I was in my early 20s and I'd taken on some ministry responsibilities within the church. He was an elder. He was like a father to me in the faith of guiding and leading me and directing me in decision-making. But where he invested the most time into me was in the pursuit and the love of the great outdoors. Many others and I have Mr. A to thank for lots of trips, canoeing and climbing and hiking. And we've become those things have become a lasting passion in my life. It was on those long trips that you really got to walk and talk with each other. The last trip I took with Mr. A before he passed away was a walk that he was doing to raise money for the leprosy mission in Nepal. And he was doing the Bibbulmun track in Western Australia. It's 1,000 kilometers. It's one of the great long distance walking tracks. And I joined him just for 5 days of that part of that journey. And as we walked together, long hours of the day from early morning until early evening and just walked along, it was during those times that we would just converse that it was in those moments I felt like he was really discipling me, taking the time to inquire of me and challenge me and question me as to the reality of my faith in every aspect of my life. I wonder if there's something literal about walking with people that makes for good discipleship. Jesus did it. Well, of course, he didn't have an option. Just kind of, you know, there was no choice there. That's how they got around. But there's something about slowing down. There's something about taking the time. There's something about doing the journey with someone else that makes for good discipleship. See, we each have a relational responsibility to engage in discipling someone else, to journey with them, and the legacy lingers well beyond us being with them. It's an investment. The Apostle Paul knew the strength that could be found in taking relational responsibility with others. And he writes this to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. He says, I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. True fathers and mothers in the church are just so precious. I think we really need them. But notice this passage, we also benefit from the sons and daughters, the disciples spreading the message of the gospel and demonstrating a new way of life to others. I think that sometimes in the church today, we aim for too much independence. Out of fear of becoming those who follow men or women inappropriately, we shy away from the call to find true fathers and mothers that we can imitate. As Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Our lives should set an example for others to follow as we follow Christ. I think sometimes we're a little too independent when we start out on things. We want to run before we can walk. We're not sure who to look to help us. And then there's this expectation that they would be everything for us. And there needs to become this mutual responsibility. The responsibility that we have cross-generationally, but the relationships that are founded, form, and start out of a responsibility we each adopt to reach out to one another to do the journey, to do the walk. And we both learn from that. One of the things at the core of who we are here at River Life is that we believe in creating loving environments where disciples can be matured and made and grown and people can be healed and nurtured in honor. Here in our family, we're striving to love like Jesus loves, and we don't get it right all the time. We know that. But that's our aspiration. That's our desire. We want loving environments where we can learn to exercise and disciple one another and, you know, follow the passions that God's given us, invest into those moments with one another. Find our place where we can learn, where we can serve, where we can give and invest into each other's lives. A safe place to have an opportunity to grow and explore what Holy Spirit wants to do in and through the gifts that He's given each of us in our lives and to use those for the extension of His kingdom. And it's in this environment of love that it compels us to minister to one another, to seek to contribute to the growth of one another as we follow Jesus. And this is our relational responsibility. We are charged with bringing significance to the most significant moment in people's life, to celebrate the good news in them. And God wants to reflect His love and His grace to the world through a family of the church. When God started the church, the ascension of Jesus and the gathering of the apostles and the disciples and the followers and the waiting them for the presence of His Holy Spirit to come on them. And as they did and as it grew, we have this wonderful new reality. God's idea is that family transcends status. It transcends gender and background and nationality and age and generation and language and skin color and culture. All of Jesus's teachings are formed in this command where He says to this new family that He's created, "My command is this, love one another as I have loved you." Sometimes that love may be confrontational, sometimes painful, but always giving. Regardless, He says, love one another now as I have loved you. Go and do that for each other, Jesus says. And we become brothers, we become sisters, we become connected. You know, you've never looked into the eyes of another human whom Jesus did not die for. In all our conversations, in all our encounters, in all our impatience and anger and selfishness, we have never looked into the eyes of another human being in whom Jesus did not die for. And when Jesus started the idea of this family, the church, His idea was that it was going to be welcoming everybody, and especially it's going to have a way of attracting people who thought they were outsiders. The gospel is not only good news to anyone, anywhere, anytime. The church is open to anyone, anywhere, anytime. Absolutely. And one of the most poignant statements of all the Bible, I think it's found in Psalm 27, verse 10. It says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. And the Father's still bringing children. Yeah. He's still collecting orphans. And somewhere or another, we're all spiritual orphans until we find our identity in our Father in heaven. And by the way, you can do that today. You can join the family of God today. He still has His arms open wide to draw in those who want to come and be a part of a family, who want to find themselves in relationship and in belonging with the Heavenly Father, but also then in relationship with the family, the church, with mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters that we might walk together. You can do that today. It's as easy as having a conversation with God that says, God, would you forgive me for going my own way? Would you forgive me for not really recognizing that you are the one that I need to be in relationship with? God, would you forgive me of my sin? Thank you that you call me like a son or a daughter. You call me into relationship with you. Jesus started the family, and here it is. It's us. And Jesus' idea is that this would be genuine, it'd be real, it'd be loving, full of acceptance and grace. That means it's going to be messy, just like your family, just like my family. But it's going to be the kind of family, God says, where all people from the community who you think of as outsiders, or perhaps even as enemies, or those who have hurt you, or those who have disappointed you, are going to be welcomed and loved. He said, you bless them. You pray for them. You care for them. You love them. You see, God, it says in Psalm 68, sets the lonely in families. And the world is crying out at the moment so loudly to be heard, to be listened to know that there is a pathway to peace that can only come as we hear the hurt, so that we might enter into dialogue together and go beyond where we're at right now. What can you do as a member of God's family to be more the type of family that God had always hoped for, that he'd planned for, this welcome, accepting, belonging family that journeys with one another, where the body builds itself up, it celebrates, it mourns, it grows together. And reaching those on our front line, it's not about getting them across some invisible line of salvation, nor is it to make them an end of year statistic to make a report sound good. Each person who responds is a child of God. They came to God looking for a relationship with him and his family. We can't abandon them once we know they're in. We must continue to love and walk with one another. What does it look like to journey with someone towards intimacy with God? The message and giving them that they're worth to God and our community, it takes more than just words. It takes words and actions. I just want to get real practical for a moment. Here's some real practical steps that you can do, that I can do, we can all be doing together to be able to share the journey with one another, to be able to walk together. And here's the first one, quite literally, go for a walk together. I've never seen so many people walking in all of my life during this isolation period. More dogs, I'm sure, are getting walked than they've ever been walked before. There are people who, the judgment on me right now, you know, even myself, getting out and just doing what we don't do frequently enough. Take someone with you. Go for a long, slow walk or faster walk, doesn't matter, and talk. Talk about life, share it with one another. Invest, make the time to slow down, to talk into each other's lives. Invite someone to do Alpha with you. There's a really simple thing you can do. We have Alpha online. It's going to be conducted via Zoom. Goes from 7:30 to I think about 8:45 or so, something like that, each Thursday from the 16th of July until about the 7th of September, 17th, I think, sorry. Great way to just chat about big questions of life. Invite them, be part of that, just journey with somebody. Just simply email the church at church@riverlifechurch.org.au if you want to find out some more information about how you can join and connect in on that. Here's another simple thing you can do. Why not, if you've been a Christian a little while and you've got habits in your life that are really positive around the Word of God and reading it and letting it get into your heart, and your prayer life is strong, and you know there's ups and downs like any of that with them, but why not disciple somebody? Why not take someone new to the faith and take them through the basics? We have a great, great tool called Starting Out that helps anyone engage with somebody else to be able to, you know, put those things in practice. Understand what it is to be a disciple. Understand what it is to be a Jesus. Anyone can take someone else through that. It's really not that hard. Show some hospitality. You know, restrictions are easing. Have some people over. Share a meal. Something important about sharing a meal together doesn't have to be fancy. You're not there showing off your culinary skills. Just have them around. It's something about being in one another's homes. And I think after being so isolated from that for so long, I think people would willingly accept an offer and just engage, relate with them, talk with them. River Life family, we need to do this together. Don't let the accuser cut short the opportunity that you have by telling you how much more it's going to be, how much more money, more time, more energy, more emotional. I don't have that space or that time. That's not how God wired us. It's not how He wants His church to be. We take a relational responsibility to walk with those because we're compelled by love. Compelled by love to share His love with others, and compelled by love when they receive it to continue to walk with them in their journey with Jesus. Let me pray with you for a moment. Father, thank you for this idea you had of bringing us together in a place where we might belong. Anyone, anywhere, anytime, open to you. Would you give us, Lord God, an increased capacity to love, to invest into the journey with one another, that we'd be so compelled by love that we'd desire to walk together in our journey with you, Jesus. I pray for every heart that's now open, for you, Holy Spirit, to just reveal to them the very simple next step they could do to make an investment into the life of somebody else. Might be someone sitting right in their lounge room with them right now. Might be their kids. Might be their neighbor. Might be their friends. Might be someone they've never met before, but they're open to welcoming them in and to walking with them, to slowing down enough to get to know them and make that investment. Strengthen us as your church, God, that this series we've just been through wouldn't be something that is just, you know, a six-week program that just ends, but you would drive this culture deep and rich in the very fabric of who we are as your people, that we would be compelled by love, love for you, love for one another, and love for the world that is around us, because we've first experienced your love within us. God, we long to hear the testimony of all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you will do. Let us just fly our flag high and share it with one another so that we might give you the glory, we might give you the honor due to your holy name. We pray it in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.